We all talk about what we're thankful for, and then, just like your family, we argue about Thanksgiving dinner. All that and more coming up right now on this episode of No Cap Room. Hello, friends! Welcome to a special Wednesday edition of No Cap Room. My name is Jake Fisher, senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports. Joining me, as always, senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports, it's my man, your man, everyone's man, Dan Devine. What is up?
Jake, I'm coming to you from where I normally come to you from, my bedroom in Brooklyn, New York. You, however, have been gallivanting across this beautiful land of ours. Tell me of your travels on this Thanksgiving week.
I am traveling. I was in Kansas City, Missouri on Monday and got rained on for approximately 4 hours sitting in section 310, row 12, seats 17, 18, 19. We moved seats throughout the game, the three of us, my brother and our friend Moshi. Bathroom breaks, food breaks, beer breaks. The seat, I don't know what set I sat in most of it, but beautiful win for the birds. Kansas City is an interesting place, full of wonderful barbecue. So much barbecue. I'm still full. I need to fast today. I'm truly going to fast today before tomorrow's activities, and which are going to be taking place in Florida. If you're watching on YouTube, I am wearing a golf polo shirt because I'm going to join my parents on the 10th hole.
Aww.
After this recording, say but it's also because my father only knows how to connect with me via athletics. So
you're on the wrong show. We did that one yesterday.
What's up with you, man? What are your Thanksgiving plans?
After we get done recording this show, which it's going to be energetic and positive. We're going to do that. And then I'm going to pack up a bunch of stuff. We are going to my in-laws in Westchester tonight. We spend tomorrow with my family in Jersey. We kind of go back and forth for the whole weekend. It's good. We see a lot of people, but it's also a lot of traveling and hustling. But this is good. We get to actually experience non-NBA content. So let's get the NBA content hammered in right now so then we can go and enjoy the family time. But before we can go spend time with our family, Jake, we had to spend time with the NBA Cup.
The NBA Cup, yeah. If you're listening to this in like your morning workout before, like to get some an hour away from the family you're going to be spending a lot of time with, if this is in commute, if you're on a train or plane, an automobile, we thank you for downloading and subscribing as always. And we're probably here to just soak up all of the remnants of Tuesday night's activity on gaudy courts around the NBA, where the Lakers, they are in. They clinched the Group A, the inaugural Group A of the in-season tournament, the IST, 131-99 blowout over the Jazz, 4-0 in Group A. Doesn't matter if LeBron is older than Jazz head coach Will Hardy. The Lakers are doing it. They are picking right back up where they left off in the Western Conference Finals, charging to new heights. I don't know. The Lakers are Lakering. They're doing good stuff. Any thoughts, Dan?
Main thing is that it was nice that they could basically put the hammer down early. I think LeBron only played 24 minutes. So as you mentioned, 3 years older than Will Hardy, the video of him being told that was it very, very funny, very interesting. The folks at Spectrum Sportsnet put that out. But yeah, he has had so much of a workload conversation with LeBron. He got an easy night. The Lakers sweep through and, you know, on into the knockout rounds. And it is kind of funny. You see, look into the future. Adam Silver talking about this is great. And there's another thing to play for, another kind of competitive trophy that teams can get. So anybody can get it, really. It could be, I don't know, it could be the Lakers. Could be the Celtics that wind up with it. It's like,
could be LeBron.
Could be LeBron James. All this new blood winning. Imagine that. And then it's friggin' LeBron. So, but
LeBron hasn't had a decorated career till he can hoist the NBA Cup above those broad shoulders.
Show me Michael Jordan's NBA Cup. That's all I'm saying.
You can't be the GOAT if you don't have the NBA Cup. And that's why Tyrese Haliburton is leading the Pacers to games that are probably going to set records at some point in time over and over and over again for high-scoring affairs where the Pacers won maybe the game of the year last night. 157 to 152 in regulation. No overtime, folks, to exceed 300 total points down. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of, I mean, but there's got to be some Indy 500 race car laps around the track analogy to make, but I'm too sleep deprived and fasted to come up with it. But Pacers are fun.
The amazing thing about this, so the Hawks scored 86 points in the first half, and it was like, what the hell is going on? And then the Pacers just sort of like hung around and then put up 84 of their own in the second half. The Hawks offensive rating was 142 points per 100 possessions, and they lost. Like, that is really, really hard to do. But this is why, I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but one of the best choices you can make in terms of your NBA watching diet is there's the Pacers and then whoever's playing the Pacers. Those are probably going to be the two best offenses in the NBA. So whenever you get a chance to lock in on them, you're probably going to see a whole lot of buckets in very short order. Tyrese Haliburton is an absolute monster. He was dissecting that defense every trip down the court. He was just a little bit better at that than Trae Young. They made a couple more shots down the stretch. Shouts out to Buddy Hield. That Pacers offense is an absolute bear. And, you know, it's going to be whoever they wind up facing in the knockout round is going to wind up having to deal with that.
Yeah, they are 3-0. They clinch Group A in the Eastern Conference. I would like there to be six letters. I'm just going to throw that out there. If we're going to do the groups, let's not have two Group A's. That's some constructive feedback for the powers that be.
It's cleaner.
Out of the tournament, five teams officially eliminated, and they're not the most shocking disqualifications. San Antonio, the depleted Memphis Grizzlies, Portland, Washington, Detroit, although Detroit clearly had higher expectations for where they're at right now. All two lost teams are hanging on by a thread for the wild card spot in each conference, but just knowing how the tiebreaker system works, I would expect that it'll be a tough draw. It seems like a one-loss team will probably be the one to get in there, but who knows? It can be crazy. We've never seen this before. Hang on to your butts in the season tournament about halfway through. We're getting dangerously close to my trip to somewhere before I go to Las Vegas for the knockout. That is the knockout and the finals and all that jazz, but the Jazz will not be there.
They will not.
Next, there's a 10-game Black Friday slate of in-season tournament games starting at 2:30 Eastern. The highlights include the Boston Celtics versus my Magic, a Heat-Knicks rematch. I guess a reunion from the first round.
Sure.
Kings, Wolves, and Pelicans, Clippers. So if you are not satisfied with the Dolphins playing on Black Friday on Amazon Prime, why not think ahead to a potential Amazon involvement in the new NBA TV deal while taking in some Black Friday games on Hoop Stuff? So speaking of Thanksgiving, as we've been speaking of for the last however many minutes we've been recording, we do want to steal a little thunder from divine intervention and talk about some gratitude, some things we're thankful for. Tomorrow, of course, is the big day, and we thought it'd be a good chance to slow things down and have each of us, including producer John Gennaro, weigh in on one NBA thing that we've been thankful for this season. You're laughing. What do you got?
I'm laughing because I have one thing I'm thankful for is that John, after however many episodes we've been doing together, corrected me yesterday, and it's Gennaro. Yes. Like Jen.
Gennaro,
like a
bridge.
Girl you knew, Jen, and an arrow flying at Jen. Not at Jen. But yes, John Gennaro. Sorry.
I don't know if I... Definitely a putty of Jens I've known. I don't think there's a Jen in my life currently. I'm trying to think, trying to rack my brain. All the weddings I've gone to. Don't seem there's been a Jen pop up at the table. But Dan, what have you been thankful for this season so far?
Well, number one, I'm thankful that John corrected me, because that's good. I've been saying his name wrong. I've been screaming it at the beginning of every show. Number two, it's very basic, but I'm not bored any given night. Like there's been something exciting to watch, something interesting to watch basically everywhere. Even like terrible teams, even early in the season, like terrible teams are still interesting. Like the Wizards, there's like the occasional Bilal Coulibaly flash, or like there were the other night, Kyle Kuzma had 12 assists, and I had to go back and be like, what the hell happened there? How did, like, he had never even come close to that. And then, you know, there's the Jordan Poole performance art project that is rolling on night by night. Things don't have to be good to be interesting. You can find it compelling.
Defend Jordan Poole for 10 seconds?
Of course you can.
The dude got paid. He got his name thrown in the trash for a behind the scenes incident that got aired out publicly that definitely should not have been because of the video that getting leaked. And let this guy just be happy and not give a shit for 82 games. That's, I don't know. Maybe I'm being too easy on the guy, but I just think all the piling, what's he supposed to do? The Wizards had no expectations to do anything good this year. Like, he's a smart guy. He's aware of that. Why are people piling on top of this man? It's not like did anyone really expect Jordan Poole to go to Washington and turn them into a championship contender this season with that roster? Come on. Relax, everyone.
Okay, I'll grant you this. There, one of the things that I said before the season, or when the trade happened, was like, this guy is basically, and I might even have said it on the podcast, I don't remember, like the perfect spiritual descendant to those JaVale McGee, Nick Young, Andre Blatch, like that era where it's like a guy who inarguably has talent and arguably gets buckets, but also like is prone to doing some sort of nonsense stuff on the court. And one of the things that sort of came out of that was like JaVale McGee became like the official mascot of, or the unofficial mascot of Shaqton a Fool. And then that wound up being something that actually like mattered to him, and that he would give interviews later on down the line. Like that really sucked and that hurt. So you're right. We should learn from our mistakes. We should learn from the past and have a more gentle approach to the Jordan Poole thing. That said, it is still interesting to see the different things he's going to do on a night to night basis.
It is.
Even if we should
it
be
is.
Kinder about them. Up and down the list, like Jalen Duren and Asar Thompson in Detroit, like Lowry Market and Keontae George in Utah. Like there's stuff happening. We've talked a ton about Big Vic and the Point Sohan experiment in San Antonio. Like the only team that whose on-court product I'm not all that interested in is Chicago, which I have to acknowledge, like my own blind spot.
Neither is Zach LaVine.
No kidding. I have to acknowledge a blind spot about that. I feel like that's a team I don't write about a whole heck of a lot and haven't really regularly for years. And I maybe should examine why that is, but I just don't find them super interesting. And even that, like you wrote about the state of the LaVine situation last week. Like they're about to maybe change everything, which brings the possibility of a whole new, like a fresh start and new beginnings. Like there's something to enjoy kind of every night right now. And that's where, like, I mean, I'm feeling grateful for that. Every time I turn on the TV, as a guy, I got a good chance of being entertained, which is really all you could ask for with this league.
I think a big reason for that, not to jinx it, knocking on the wood of the dining room table here, we've had pretty good health around the league so far. You know, this being an NFL holiday, just thinking in the contrast, there's a goddamn starting quarterback getting lost with the season every snap out there.
Right.
Outside of Bradley Beal and the Suns, which I don't want to say too much. I don't have too much confirmed, but that 3-week window that was announced by Phoenix seems to be like an optimistic time period. I'm not so certain that like we're just going to snap our fingers by the end of the month and Bradley Beal is going to be back and looking good as new. So that's something to be definitely concerned about.
Back injuries are scary, especially on the wrong side of 30. Like that stuff can linger for sure.
Little Jamal Murray being out for Denver, but like the teams that we thought would be good right now, most of those teams were getting them with their top guys. So I am crossing my fingers and toes, saying this out loud, probably a disastrous choice, but I'm thankful for it. So we need to put out the positivity to combat any potential negative energy that could sweep across medical and training rooms across the league. So that is my thing I'm thankful for so far this season. John, you got something for us, buddy?
Yeah, I'm going to tie this into bad backs because I am an old man, so old that I woke up in the middle of the night with back pain last night for no reason. I didn't do anything to it. I'm just old. And I am 3 weeks younger than LeBron James, who never seems to have back problems and occasionally pushes himself too hard in the last few years and injures himself. But it's still an absolute joy to watch him do what he's doing right now. And the closest thing we've ever had to it was like the Wizards version of Michael Jordan. When Kobe was this old, he wasn't really playing this many minutes or this many meaningful minutes. When Dirk was this old, he was down to like 15, 20 minutes a game. For LeBron to be at, 35 minutes a game and still one of the best players in the NBA, when, in past decades, generations, he would clearly be, an ancient veteran who could maybe give you a few minutes, is just thrilling. It's thrilling. And my closeness to it in terms of age makes it even more thrilling for me.
Along those lines, we are going to have a quick little thing here to get us through the rest of the show. And bounce around a couple topics. We're making a Thanksgiving meal of NBA stuff. And the turkey that we have listed down here, the main ingredient, you can't have Thanksgiving without turkey. It is LeBron, Steph, KD. These guys that have been there, they have anchored down the room, the conversation, the drama, the TV ratings. They've played with each other and against each other and were born in the same hospital and all that stuff. They're still here. They're still doing it. KD moved to 11th all-time in scoring last night. It's a 1,000th game in the league. The Suns are hanging around despite the Bradley Beal stuff. Devin Booker back. Steph, the Warriors are not so mighty right now. 7-8, about 500, but Steph is still doing his thing. And when you turn on Golden State, you know that Steph Curry is going to be splashing from distance, running around, always a threat to pull and shimmy and swagger all over his defender. So it is pretty sweet that, I mean, we're going to keep saying it until they're gone. Appreciate these guys while we have them. Appreciate the turkey, even though there are other side dishes and things to get excited about.
Even though sometimes the turkey can be a little bit dry, you know, that happens, you know, it's, you know, as the birds age, they can dry out a little bit, you know, when it's prepared just right. Yeah. It can still, it's the highlight of any table for sure.
You can moisten that dry turkey up with some gravy. And we talked about it a little earlier, Dan, the Pacers are the gravy that you've been looking for, some zest, some flavor in this NBA picture.
Yeah, first off, before we get too far away from it, like, I just looked this up quick because of what John was saying. First off, John being like, I'm such an old man. John, you're younger than I am. God damn it. Like, come on. I empathize. Say it again.
Is that the bar?
We've established this in this show.
Yes. You're like
younger than Dan or older than Dan. You're
that's right.
Ancient.
I'm a young man then. So is LeBron.
That's exactly right. You got your whole life ahead of you. don't try to race past me. Stay where you are. The previous high, but a PER is not a perfect number, but the high previous high for someone in their age 38 season, Kareem, 22.7 in 1985. LeBron this season so far, 26.1. Like, no, it's a level of...
Take and which that, is, Kareem.
Which is 7th in the entire NBA this season. So, you know, yeah, there's still some juice in the bird, I guess, to extend the analogy.
Now I want to read a Kareem Huffington Post blog about how LeBron's stats are actually not as impressive as they should be.
Either that or just his spec script for the new season of Veronica Mars, whenever that might be coming back around. Because Kareem being in the writer's room of mystery shows was one of those things that I was like, this is the coolest thing in the world. Like, an incredible post career run for Kareem that has moved in a lot of different directions. Gravy. All right. So the point of gravy is for me to yell it, but also it's like to add flavor, add zest, to be able to add some juice to the other sort of dry meats or the sort of plainer starches that you'd have on your plate. And I think that's the Pacers. I mentioned earlier, not just because of their own flavor, the fact that they are number one in the league in offensive rating, that they are just absolutely sprinting up and down the court on every possession, that Tyrese Halliburton is putting more sauce on every possession than anybody in the
gravy
league.
Boat, if you will.
I love that. It makes me think of Gravy Boat Lighthouse, which is a great Conan O'Brien sketch. Google Gravy Boat Lighthouse. You will see that. Thank you very much, Jake. It infuses flavor into those starches, right? So again, the Pacers are one of the worst defenses in the NBA.
A lot of corn, a lot of starch up there.
They give, so the Pacers score 122.9 points per 100. They give up 122.3. So they are the best offense in the league, and they turn every other team into the second best offense in the league. So when you are watching the Pacers, you are getting flavor one way or another. And it can be overwhelming. Sometimes it can be too overpowering. But what we're looking for is more flavor in these games and in our lives. And I think they can really liven up the occasionally dry Tuesday night in mid-November, insert your other dry spell in the NBA season here. So Indiana Pacers, to me, you are gravy.
Are you a stuffing guy?
Absolutely. Yes. That is an important part of the meal to me.
I need some cornbread flavored stuffing, or like some cornbread in there, a little sausage in there maybe.
Sausage, done for right, sure, yeah.
It can be really great. it's never really the star of the show, but stuffing can be fucking dominant when it's done right. Little stove topper. And Zion Williamson of late with BI seems like maybe they're finding some dominant figurings, some combinations, some lineups. That Dyson Daniels JV group with Jordan Hawkins flying around. There's some fun stuff potentially happening after a tough 5-game losing streak. Jose Alvarado's back. What do you got, Dan Devine?
Well, it's about the ingredients, right? And so, like, if you're trying to like sell me stuffing by being like, oh, you know, we put like, you know, I don't know, persimmons in there. I'm like, get that out of here. I don't need that. I need like, give me like, again, we're doubling down on the starch. We're putting stuffing in there. The right ingredients need to go in there, needs to cook properly. The Pelicans have just not, they've not had all their ingredients together very much. Trey Williams III has not played because he's coming off a surgery. You know, guys have been in and out of the lineup. CJ McCollum not in the lineup right now. They're starting to get guys back together. Zion, to me, is the biggest one of those. Zion also can be a little underwhelming or disappointing, depending on what ingredients he's, I guess, put into himself more recently than that. But I feel like we are seeing, we just saw maybe Zion's best and most explosive game of the season the other night. And we're, you know, now he and BI, when they're on the floor together, Pelicans are plus 3.7 per 100. The defense has been good. The offense is trending up. You get Jose Alvarado back. They're starting to get healthier. The ingredients are starting to come together, and it's all, the hope is the Pelicans are able to finally get everybody on the same court and on the same page enough to actually figure out what it can be. That's what, to me, that's like the dominant stuffing. That's what I see for the Pelicans. I see the potential of a truly dominant stuffing. And sometimes we just wind up with too much, I don't know, persimmons or whatever in there. And that's what I don't need that.
And there could be more ingredients coming along the way, being that they are loaded with picks and movable contracts to try to get this thing going in the right direction. Potatoes. You can have them mashed. You can have them sweet. You can have them both. My grandma likes to make them with the marshmallows on top. She'll be bringing that on Thursday. Shout out
on the sweet potatoes, right? Not on the regular mashed potatoes.
On the sweet potatoes.
Let's say that would be, that would be incredibly interesting. Just, he's like, no, marshmallows on top of fucking everything.
No, the sweetness you put on potatoes is what we're going to be saying next. Okay. Sometimes it comes out of a can, sometimes it's homemade. We'll get there. Potatoes could also be used to soak up alcohol that you're taking down all day long as you're watching football games. The mashed potatoes, guys who mash you with their heft and their size in different ways. We've got Nikola Jokic and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Dan, these are not similar players by any stretch. Why are they grouped together on this rundown?
Okay, so you're absolutely right. Stylistically different, although the amount of just like the way they match people in the, you know, down on the block or down on the paint is critical and important. My arguments here, they are imposing and hefty, both of them, yet sometimes deceptively delicate and fluffy. You know, it's the way that Jokic sort of releases passes and shots from odd angles, the way that Giannis sometimes, instead of finishing the Euro with a, you know, sort of tomahawk dunk, it's a quick finger roll. You know, like he's delicate in the movement sometimes in a surprising way.
His finger roll can look quite elegant. I can say that when it's, you know,
elegant. That's a better word than delicate. You're absolutely right. That's exactly the idea. So an elegance to their game, despite the sheer mass and volume that they bring to the table there. They are difficult to contend with. I think we can both agree that, like, potatoes, you have a lot of potatoes. That's a hard thing to eat a lot of. And if you spend the evening tangling with a lot of them, they will leave you feeling heavy-legged and depleted and like you need a nap. Like, you play Giannis, you got to deal with that, you need a nap afterward. You play Jokic, you deal with that, you need a nap afterward. You eat like 3 helpings of potatoes, you're done. You're done before the kickoff of the late game. So that, yeah, to me, that was what it made me think of. But listen, I'm open to other potato-based interpretations. I am nothing if not open to other potato-based interpretations, Jake.
Well, sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top. Are the marshmallows of the sweet potato dish Quinn Snyder on top of the Atlanta Hawks? Just bring things to a new level of flavor and opportunity and previously untapped direction. I don't know.
I like that because it leaves me like sometimes, and this is a me problem. I'm going to acknowledge it's a me problem. If sweet potato, like a sweet potato puree or something on its own, sometimes I'm kind of like, I wish it was better than this. And the Hawks are a team that I feel like we've looked at the last couple of years and been like, why aren't you better than this? And then yeah. What is it?
Another team ripe for a trade.
I'm not sure how we would extend trade into this metaphor, like moving a chunk of the sweet potato for, I don't know, what else goes in, like orange juice? I don't know. What goes into the sweet potato puree to add flavor to it?
I guess it's like, to me, my favorite version of sweet potatoes are fries. I don't really love the sweet potato mash. I'm not going to lie. To me, the mash is about the real chutzpah, the real starchy, buttery, salty. I don't like the sweet with my potatoes too much. But the sweet potato fry, I've always been a fan of.
That's what, we have to like sometimes it's not even actually a vegetable, but like in trying to get the kids to eat vegetables, we're like, I don't know, sweet potato fries. Sometimes you got to take the L on a vegetable fight and be like, I don't know, it's in the neighborhood. And so that's,
you can
I mean,
make your like healthy-ish versions. You chop them up, put a little seasoning on, throw them in the pan, put them in the oven. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what we do. There's a lot of paprika involved in that situation. There's some cinnamon, every once in a while. You try to do what you can with it. Quinn Snyder's trying to do what he can with the melted marshmallow on top of a previously somewhat underwhelming 500-ish mid Hawks team. Added flavor there. Katie Heindel on Divine Intervention was extremely excited about Quinn Snyder's new red glasses and what that has meant for the flavor of that team. So yeah, a team that is, and also a team that, you know, you mentioned the marshmallow melting, maybe best appreciated in the course of like a sugar rush, like for example, a 157-152 game against the Pacers. Although I don't know that we should put gravy on the mashed potato, on the sweet potatoes. Maybe those two shouldn't meet. I don't know. We're mixing metaphors, but listen, sometimes on the table, on the plate, you just got to mix everything together and just get all those flavors in one.
The last ingredient of a true Thanksgiving sandwich to me, which includes, this is my Thanksgiving sandwich preference, which I'm a big fan of. Every Vegas Summer League, go to Capriati's by Thomas Mack Center, get whatever they call it. I think it's called the Godfather. If you're from Philly, the Wawa Gobbler. We need turkey, potatoes, stuffing, and cranberry sauce. The tartness and acidity that helps cut through the piles of starch you're getting everywhere else. I think that means in this exercise we're doing a zig from where everyone else in the league is zagging. And there's one that's definitely been standing out to you, sir.
Well, I think about the Wolves. Like, first, I mean, they are now experiencing the success that a certain segment of pundits here included thought might come last season, because the idea was, we have this offensive talent, let's graft on a top tier defense by putting Rudy Gobert there will make a top tier defense. And it's more complicated than that, and it has required Jaden McDaniels playing great. He also just went down with an ankle sprain, so we'll see what the impact that has. But there's been, you know, the insertion of Mike Conley, and there's all this sort of moving pieces around there. But basically, in a league where previously it had all been about who are your switchable wings, who are your, you know, perimeter, apex predator, perimeter creators, they were like, screw it, two huge guys, and we're going to figure it out from there. We're going to be gigantic, and we're going to be defense first, and we're going to figure it out from there. And last year sucked because everybody was injured, and they never really got their full team together. And then this year, they've been awesome. Pretty much since the start, like I think they're the only team that has a win over both the Celtics and the Nuggets. That might not still be true, but they're right up at the top of the Western Conference. They've been lights out defensively. The offense is coming along. There's a tartness and an acidity to the, I mean, I don't know. Ask Draymond and the Warriors about the tartness and acidity of dealing with the Wolves for the Wolves a couple of times in a row. And then there's every once in a while. So I mentioned this in our pre-show discussion. So my mother-in-law will make the not out of the can cranberry sauce, the like proper in a pan, whatever cranberry sauce. And there's like a little bit of extra sort of flavor in there. I don't know if that's like which spice goes into it or a little bit of like orange zest to add a little bit of brightness to it. And maybe that's Ant Edwards, the sort of the smooth brightness of the way that Ant Edwards finishes, the way that he's creating and elevating his game, bringing that offense up. It's a complete sort of situation, but I think we do wonder, is this complete enough? Is there enough in here? Is it stable and not stable? Is it, you know, not meaty either? What's the word I'm looking for here, Jake? Is it formidable enough? Maybe is there enough?
I was gonna say pithy, but that's more like of sound.
Yeah, it's okay. we're all making stuff up today. It's great. Is there enough, sort of enough to it to hold you over through four playoff series into the Western Conference Finals and beyond? That very much remains to be seen, but it tastes pretty damn good right now. And in a way that I think maybe people weren't expecting, a surprising flavor profile out of Minnesota.
Let's get some veggies on this plate, on this table. Green bean casserole, not really. There are some vegetables in there, bathed in cream of mushroom soup and fried onions, but vegetables nonetheless. My mother made green bean casserole, which I believe was the first time last year. And she put it on the table and she said, hey, it's my first time doing this. Don't reserve judgment. Don't push this into the center of the table too soon. Kind of like how Sam Presti continues to talk about this Thunder team. Every time the president, I believe, of the Oklahoma City Thunder has taken to the public and levied comments that he knows will be recorded and disseminated around blogs and what have you.
But only with the express written consent of the National Basketball Association and its partners. Now, you know, certainly not without that permission.
Certainly not. He's been clear. We are not rushing this. We're just having breakfast. We're not at the dinner table yet. We're just the Thunder, though, they currently are tied for second in the West, only a half game behind these Western Conference leading Minnesota Timberwolves. And it's funny, like, talked about the Pelicans having all these picks. The Thunder clearly have all these picks. What's funny is, and this is just speculation to share on a podcast, talk to like one person around the league and around the front office, and they'll say, yeah, oh yeah, the Thunder, take Sam at his word. They're not, they're going to ease this thing in. They're just trying to figure out what they've got still. This is just Chet's first year. Jalen Williams is second. You know, this is nothing crazy. Like, let's just have some fun. And then you got other people who are like, huh, are they saying this so publicly to dissuade us? Because they are trying to gear up and they are doing, no one knows. But just like my mom's casserole, let's just try it. Let's just enjoy it. Let's just take in all the flavor and appreciate that these young Thunder are going into Golden State and going toe-to-toe with, the contender of all contenders of the last decade and whatnot.
Yeah, and doing it, I guess the argument for green bean casserole, which is not something that we had green beans on their own, not as part of like the casserole.
Not with fat and fried on top of it.
I mean, I'm sure there was, you know, it was like oil and whatever. I'm sure it wasn't healthy, or butter and salt, whatever what goes into it, but it wasn't in the fried onion capacity. So, but like, I think the argument is like it balances out, right? It provides a little bit of, a little bit of vegetables to round out the plate that you're having. And they've been one of the most balanced and rounded out teams in the NBA so far. There's only a handful of teams that are in the top 10 on both ends of the ball. Oklahoma City, eighth in offense, fourth in defense. Their starting lineup has been like lights out with Chet Holmgren in the middle there. He's been a perfect fit. It has been a healthy progression with some extra flavor added on top of it. And the new ingredients that they've added in. So I think it's a great pick. Mine was, maybe a little less creative. I thought the Celtics, because I'm like green. You know, just a bunch of green. And then that they've also, they've added, again, they've added additional seasoning and sauce in the premise of bringing in, like last year, bringing in Derek White, this year, bringing in Kristaps Porzingis, bringing in Drew Holiday. But even within that, it's still like pretty fundamental. It's green beans, it's cream of mushroom soup, it's onions. Like, it's still big guy who protects the rim, guard who defends, everybody shoots and passes and dribbles. Like, there's still a very fundamental construction there. So, and also, like, I don't know that I would, that it's my favorite. So we'll go with that.
I just heard Bill Rafferty go onions in my head while you said that.
No arguments here. No reason for that to, anytime that Raf shows up in your brain, that's, you know, a blessing. You got to, you know, I don't know, make a wish.
I wish that people will stop arguing about the Clippers, just like people argue about mac and cheese. We had this argument in my family. Should mac and cheese be at the table tomorrow? It remains to be seen.
Why is this an argument? What is the downside? I mean,
I agree with you. Everyone loves mac and cheese. And my layover at, what's the airport? Jackson Hartsfield Airport in Atlanta yesterday. Shout out Delta Lounges across the country. B18 overflow. People stop going to the B18 Delta Lounge in Atlanta. It's the best lounge in the land. It is overflowing with people. Get out of there.
So that's like a shout out and an anti shout out right away. It's like shout out to the lounge and all the rest of you plebes, get the fuck out of here.
I'm both blowing up at spot and gatekeeping at the same time.
That's exactly right. And like literal gatekeeping. You're literal trying to keep people away from B18.
Anyway, there was a great mac and cheese there. Yesterday was a barbecue brisket, which I couldn't leave a look at after all the barbecue. Shout out Arthur Bryant's in Kansas City. I don't know where it was in Kansas City, but everyone, Arthur Bryant's very well-known spot. And Joe's Midtown ribs. What a time. I need to not think about food anymore than we're already thinking about it.
I got bad news for you, brother. We're in the middle of a whole segment that's entirely about talking about food. Kind of.
So this has been like such a concept to me. I haven't thought about actually digesting it right now.
Okay. I got it.
Yeah. Russell Westbrook and James Harden. The mac and cheese that everyone wants to hate on all the time. But the Clippers kind of feel like they're coming down. They feel like they're figuring some things out. James Harden's hitting game winners. Russ went to the bench. I don't know.
Volunteered, the reports say. Volunteered to make the move off the bench.
I am bullish on the Clippers figuring this thing out over, I don't know, the next 70 games that they have a chance to just continue to...
They've got some runway.
Yeah. I think all the early... Like we said this when we talked, I was just waiting for them to win a game until they didn't. The noise was going to continue to get louder, but sure. They have claimed a couple victories here, two in a row as we record. And I mean, they're only four games out of first place. Come on, guys. It's early.
If we were really hewing to the idea of like the thing everyone likes to argue about, that would be LeBron, but I guess LeBron could be an answer for almost all of this, right? Like if you are around your Thanksgiving dinner table or, you know, seated in the living room watching the game, and you are in the kind of family where people argue about sports, they are much more likely to be arguing about whether LeBron's the GOAT or, you know, whether the bubble title was trash or whatever, than, you know, whether the Clippers are for real. Although Harden and Westbrook are people who evoke strong feelings. My thought was less about the argument point and more about something that is things that are rich in flavor, but then are they rich in substance? And so to me, the two names that I thought of there were Joel Embiid and Luka Doncic. Guaranteed hitters, man. They are success stories. They are like, they're good. They're going to put up big numbers. You put that mac and cheese on the table, it's doing numbers. People are going for it. If you're arguing that mac and cheese doesn't belong there, then don't eat it. But shut up. Don't take it away from me. Don't make it so that I can't have it or give it to my kids and then be like, that's something that they can eat at this table. Joel Embiid and Luka Doncic, superstar talents, bring a ton to the table. Almost guaranteed success, is going to put up numbers in the season. But they've yet to prove they can really be that central component to a dinner. If you're putting mac and cheese out as the main thing, you got to find a protein somewhere else, right? Got to put some green on the plate somewhere else, right? You got to be other things that go with it. It can't be a standalone on its own in the same way that, you know, you can make the turkey sandwich. The turkey can be the centerpiece. Can't say that about mac and cheese in quite the same way. Can you say the same thing about Luka Doncic? Can you say the same thing about Joel Embiid? Reasonable people can argue over this at the dinner table, Jake. And so that's why I think of them as mac and cheese related NBA superstars. I'm sure I'm the first person to yell that into a microphone. I have to be.
Let's get to dessert. That's not the first time anyone's yelled that into a microphone. I love pie. Hot take, pie greater than cake. It's been my feeling all along.
The great comedian Paul F. Tompkins would disagree with you and has a wonderful stand-up comedy bit about that I would heartily recommend people listen to. But Jake,
my other take, cheesecake is a pie. Mm. It has a crust. It is a pie. It is cheese pie. No, it's cheesecake. But it is just like squares can be rectangles and vice versa. Not vice versa. You know what I'm saying? Cheesecakes.
Right. All squares are rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares. That's the way that goes.
Exactly. So they are always great. They're never a meal unto themselves. They are something just to bring it on home. This is the most stretched metaphors we're going to be giving you here.
I just want to disagree. It can be a meal unto itself. That meal can be breakfast. That is a Friday morning breakfast with a cup of coffee, piece of pie. That'll do you right.
A quiche is a breakfast pie. Think about that. Think about that. It's truly made with a pie crust. Like you go to the grocery store and you buy the pre-made crust in the pan, and it's the same thing you do for a pie with a quiche. Keep that in mind, folks at home. Wagner Brothers, I wrote about them at Yahoo Sports Today.
Which pie are the other Wagner brothers, Jake? Let's get this metaphor popping.
I don't know what pie they are, but I just tell you that that Mo is the crust that allows Franz to be the sweet filling that is the real meat of the Orlando Magic alongside Paolo Banchero.
Ah, so it's a meat pie.
Meat pie. No, I don't know what it is. It's just, we're just trying to give a shout out to the two tall German boys that are doing great things together and live together in Orlando. And I just want to use the podcast to say that I know that Franz apparently has a couple of nicknames in the Orlando parlance, but in the basketball reference or nothing stage of the NBA discourse, there is no listed nickname on Franz Wagner's profile. And I want to make a recommendation, being that he bought a house last summer and Mo is not just living there. He's paying rent, and he lovingly refers to Franz, his younger brother, as the landlord. And I saw some fans on my tweet, I'm pulling it up, say he's got a couple of nicknames. Apparently his Twitter handle is Franz Boogie, but like, I don't think of Franz as like a boogie.
We already got an NBA boogie. It's going to be tough to break through.
We did have an NBA Melo, and LaMelo has kind of, but that is like his name, and it's a little bit different. It's also more of, I don't know. I don't like boogie for Franz.
I would agree.
Only Franz is too much. We can't have that. Someone threw that out there.
It's a little much.
I noticed both of their Instagram handles have their last name as Weasley. I asked a source close to the brothers if that was a direct connotation of the Weasley family from Harry Potter. I was not able to get that confirmed. So for now, I like the landlord. I like the landlord.
So here's where the fact that I've been a aging blog person for a very long time. There, I know that there is another, or was another, NBA landlord in the blog era. Do you have any idea who it was?
I'm not as old as you, no.
God damn it. Yes, I know you're not as old as me. Sheldon Williams, Duke Sheldon Williams, was nicknamed the landlord.
That kind of rings a bell, honestly.
And the argument was like he controls what's inside. Like he's the one who like the paints his house, and he's the one who decides who gets to, I guess, rent space there.
Sheldon Williams, his second sentence of Wikipedia says, nicknamed the landlord. So there you go.
I know of what I speak. There was a really rough, I want to say, I think it was in when he was at Duke. It might have been after he got into the pros, though, like hype video, like highlight video that had a song that was like, hey, hey, here comes the landlord. So I remember that. And but I would imagine that Sheldon Williams, now retired, you know, moved on to, you know, greener
one
pastures.
More, one more Sheldon Williams thought is, so he was working for some team. I forget. This was years ago. It might have been Brooklyn. When I was just a young boy trying to make my way into the NBA media landscape, and I sat next to him in Thomas and Mack. I think it was Cox, on Cox Pavilion on the baseline there at Summer League while he was wearing a team polo, and he did not want to talk to me in the slightest. So Sheldon Williams, not one of my sources that people would like to try to identify whenever I see them casually.
Well, one thing that a landlord does is decide who gets to stay and who doesn't. So he didn't want you to stay. But I think it's been long enough since
Sheldon. I'm still here, baby.
It's been long enough since Sheldon's nickname that maybe I only am the only one that remembers it. So it's fair to open it up to another person, but we're going to need Franz to get his inside numbers up. I think like if he's going to have to be like a shot blocking interior defender, or he's going to have somebody that like dominates on it with his shots in the lane. So one of those two things I think needs to happen, but I'm for it. Better than only Franz for sure.
Any pie analogies you want to give our listeners here before we,
Jake, I don't know. Moving? We have the metaphors are so tortured.
Just give us one. Just give us one.
I'll give you one. All right. Pumpkin pie. I don't think about pumpkin pie all year, except for when we get to this time of year.
I start to think about it on October 1st. I get a little jiggle in the fingers.
Let's never say the phrase a little jiggle in the fingers ever again on No Cap Room. Let's make that promise, you and me, to one another together right here and
right
now.
Can't say that.
I'm thankful that we've promised that to each other, and that's the way this is going. But when we get to this time of year, when the money's on the table, when it matters most, the stage is the biggest and the lights are the brightest, I know pumpkin pie is going to be there. I know it's going to be heard from, it's going to be accounted for, and it's going to have to be reckoned with. That to me is the Miami Heat. That is, you cannot pay attention to anything going on there until you get to April. But God damn it, when you get to April, there's going to be hell to pay and Jimmy Butler's going to be bringing it with him. So I think to me, that one made sense. It connected dots in my brain. Whether it makes any sense to anybody else, who cares? It's not your podcast.
Okay. Last thing. No, two more things. Not food related. Every Thanksgiving table should have, typically has, will have, maybe will have a drunk uncle who just going about his business. People maybe being nice. Maybe they're inquiring, asking for his opinions. And he's just doing his own thing.
I have two questions, Jake. Yeah. One, do your siblings have children?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, so then you can't be a drunk uncle.
I like to think that I have fun uncle energy, though.
I can see that. But like, that will be put to the test if and when there are, you know, nieces and nephews to contend with. But my second question is, when I go to my family functions, like my siblings and my brother-in-law, they do have kids. Should I be the drunk uncle this year?
I think you should. You should just be telling them about the NBA Cup is here, baby. And if you're not watching, fill it up and take some sips.
Just screaming at teenagers about the in-season tournament. Yeah, that sounds good. Everyone's going to be really happy about that.
Look at the courts. Look at the courts. To be the drunk uncle of the NBA right now, we're just having fun. We're just being silly.
Do you want me to say it so you don't have to?
I'm saying it. Okay, all right, Masai Ujiri and the Toronto Raptors, because everyone wants to call this man and trade for one of his players, if not more. We've said this time and again, Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, now it's OG, now it's Pascal Siakam. We'll find out. The Bulls are already there. So last year, the two teams that everyone wanted to blow it up, one of them is kind of at the precipice right now. We'll see what happens there. Will Toronto be far behind, or will Masai continue to stiff arm any naysayer who says that these beautiful boys need to be taken apart and torn back down and rise again from the ashes on the back of Scottie Barnes? Who's to say? But that was the one thing that came about, just because it is funny as we get closer and closer to December 15th, the unofficial trade season that never actually really is trade season until February, which we'll see. We will see this year, right, with the bunched up standings. People are talking a big game, but there'll be some stuff happening earlier. We'll find out. And we will find out if the Raptors sober up and realize that there are a lot of bidders out there for these players that probably aren't doing anything true to dramatic. They are 6-8. They're probably the most definition of mid you could find. I'm not even looking at advanced numbers. I just have the ESPN standings up here, and they have 110.
I believe you have points. The Yahoo standings up there.
I'm not looking at advanced stats. I just have the standings up here. They are at 110 points per game and give up 111. So I don't know, man. I don't think that there is a brighter horizon for this unit around the corner.
There's also, sorry, extending that out, if the drunk uncle is, say, like an Uncle Rico type from Napoleon Dynamite, being like, how much you want to bet I could throw a football over those mountains, like holding to his opportunity to have won state when he was in high school.
How much you want to bet I can get 4 first-round picks for OG Anunoby?
And also, like, man, remember when we won that title? It was pretty sweet. Yeah. And like the stories are about like, well, yeah, but when we won the title, or these guys were there when we won the title, we're not letting go of these guys. They're champions. They won a championship with me. So like, yeah, letting go of the past, a tricky thing for drunk uncles, and perhaps also a tricky thing for Masai Ujiri.
The flu bug typically does start to go around, unfortunately, as people flying around the country and they come together at the table and they leave the table. They bring something to the table, they take it away from the table, and they disseminate it across the map. The one team, unfortunately, in contrast to what I'm thankful for with health concerns and whatnot, the Memphis Grizzlies are down on some luck. They have been bitten by the injury bug with Stephen Adams out, Brandon Clark out. Now it's Xavier Tillman and Marcus Smart and Luke Kennard, and Jake LaRavia is the latest to the list. And you know, John Morant's still a month away from returning, to the point where I do wonder, haven't asked anyone about it yet, try to be respectful of the time. But I do wonder if, you know, if this team is right now, Memphis, as we record, they are 3-10. They're 5-20 when Ja returns after it. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. We're just thinking about realistic scenarios. Is it really worth moving with this roster at this stage, or trying to maybe like, do you try to flip Marcus Smart for the two picks that you just sent for him? Or does Luke Kennard look better in a different uniform when you get some pieces back and you try to replace, you know, with one of your younger guys? I don't know. It's just, they are fighting an illness just like many people fight around this time of year. So I hope the Memphis Grizzlies get well soon.
That's a good hope. It's a kind thought. And yeah, I mean, when we talked about them earlier in the season, it was like, yeah, you know, it's been a rocky start, but the underlying numbers aren't as bad as it looks. And they've had a couple of outlier nights, and, you know, they're a middle of the pack team by like adjusted net rating and stuff like that. Now it's like, nah, they're like a bottom 7-8 team, even with those sunnier numbers, and lower, worse than that with the other advanced stats and the other significant ones. So, you know, Desmond Bane is doing his level best there. He's, you know, being forced into seeing what life is like as a number one option when everybody can throw their best stuff at you, and he's performing, but it's hard to elevate on your own. So yeah, keep, even staying afloat has proven to be too difficult a thing just with all the bodies they're missing. And, you know, it starts to get cold a little bit earlier when you're not feeling well, and when you don't have the depth and the warmth to take care of you there. So they need help in a big way, and otherwise this will turn into a lost season pretty quick.
It is warm here in Florida. I'm going to go hit the links and try to not lose 11 balls in 9 holes. Dan, any fun last updates, Thanksgiving stuff, things you want to say about your personal life you want to share with the public?
No, I think I do enough of that. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Stay safe, travel safe. And I guess we'll talk to you on the other side of the holiday after some more in-season tournament stuff, more things like that. We'll catch you next week. But if you're listening to us while you're gone, I hope that we were able to keep your attention away from the family you've been trying to avoid for a little while. I hope that we've been able to kill some time on your travels, and that you've enjoyed staying with us as much as we've enjoyed doing this very, very silly episode of our show.
Hope you laughed. Hope you cried. Hope we got you hungry for tomorrow. Thanks to John Gennaro for doing all the things he does to make the show look and sound great. Follow us on various social media platforms that are out there at Jake L. Fisher and at Your Man Divine. Subscribe to Ball Don't Lie on YouTube or whatever podcast platform you're currently listening on, and leave us a 5-star review. We thank you for listening, and we'd appreciate it if you came back again next week for another episode of No Cap Room.